Hello, hello.
Hello.
So where are you from, Alan and Mrs. iPhone? Where are you two from?
I'm from Quebec, Canada, about an
Oh,
hour and a
nice.
half from Montreal.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Yes. My mother's was French Canadian, so yeah.
Okay. So, vous parlez un peu français?
Hello, Beth.
She No, she was fluent. English was her second language, but I don't. She didn't want us to learn it back way back in the day. So I wish I would have learned it. Yeah, but I like hockey, so. And how about you, Beth?
Yes, I'm in Manassas, Virginia.
Oh,
About
yeah.
20 miles from Trish. Yeah. And where are you?
Wow, nice.
Where
Pardon?
are you? Where do you
I'm
live?
in Colorado.
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 Beautiful country. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a country, it's a state.
I feel lucky. I
Yeah.
like the nothingness, nothingness of Colorado.
Yes.
Yeah.
John, I was thinking a little bit more about destiny because we realize that as selfless self, there is no destiny. There's no one here. It's an illusionary thing. But isn't that destiny that you were drawn to the recovery program, began to practice the presence, and then you were drawn to Muji and then Ramakant? Isn't that destiny that you were led that way? So isn't that destiny for you before you realized there was no John?
I mean, I don't know, destiny, it's whether I know it or not, it's spontaneous actions in the moment. And this life that you could say that John is living, this body form is going to go through, is going through what it's going through. But just like again in a dream, you could dream a little dream character and they could progress and do a lot of different stuff. And then they wake up and none of it was true. So
No,
it's
but you were
very,
led to wake up. You
I
as
don't know.
well, it happened, didn't it?
I mean, I went to Ramakant Maharaj and I introduced, like I said, I felt a sense of presence and I was introduced to that sense of presence through Sri Ramakant Maharaj. And then that was it. So, but I don't know if it was destiny of because yeah, I can't say it was destiny. Was it destined to happen? It happened within the bubble of illusion. And a lot of things can happen within the bubble of illusion, but none of them are really like so significant that I would, yeah. I don't
But
know.
Ramakant tells us that don't miss out on this opportunity.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah,
But he's
yeah.
not speaking to John. He's speaking to selfless self.
Right, he's speaking to separate self, indeed. Yeah.
He's speaking to selfless self, or he's speaking to the presence within the body and saying, don't miss this opportunity to know yourself in a real
Right.
sense. That presence operating through the body form says, oh, I'm not this body. So there's really no destiny for presence as presence just is and provides the play. I guess similarly to when Maharaj says, okay, a guy goes on stage and does a drama and plays the role very well. You're just playing your role. But destiny, like the only way you can really think of destiny is from here backward, looking and saying, okay, all these things happen because of this. But it's all illusion. So what happened because of what? Who knows? Again, if you were in your dream, somebody came to you in your dream and said, I'm off to college and, you know, I have worked so hard and I got my loans together and everything's good and my dad's so happy and would you like to come to my party? And you're dreaming that you're in this party for this guy who's going away to college and he's worked so hard in high school, he's got such good grades, he was a quarterback and all this. Then you wake up.
Right.
So the destiny of the guy, that he was destined to do well in high school and go off to college, but it wasn't true.
It doesn't really make any difference in the present. And I was thinking just what you said, that any idea of destiny, it's like any idea that we come up with, we then apply that idea to like the past or to as if there's some being to the idea. But it's it's always looking back.
Kind of. We try to give it to mind to figure it out logically. And it's not logical because you're prior to mind. Even to say your presence and you're formless is sort of still giving breadcrumbs to the mind to relinquish control, so to speak. You're saying, okay, you're formless. And then again, the mind projects these images and thoughts about form. And you're formless is what you're told. But that is even a concept, because prior to beingness, you didn't know you were formless. Nor is there any need to know you were formless. The concept of formlessness came along with the body, which you are not. This concept of individuality has to be rooted out, because it's not the presence as an individual, or even the presence within this body experiencing the quote universal presence. It's not like this. This body is nothing more than a lump of goo of the five elements. Without presence, it becomes just a lump. And as Maharaj has often said, we burn or bury it. And even our quote family relations who quote love us so much are not going to allow our body to sit in the living room and just decay. It's like they're gone, they're finished. Okay. We cry about it and all this kind of stuff, but it's not, there's no value once the presence is removed. And the presence really isn't even removed. It's just that this body form can no longer sustain the essence. But all of this truly is meaningless, because you remain with your selfless self. All of these are pointers to say destiny or parabrahma or whatever that is called, to say karma, to say spirituality, to say blessing that you've met a guru, to talk about God. All these things are within that bubble of illusion and are only there to get you to finally sit quietly with your own self. All answers are within you. If I'm constantly running around trying to figure things out, it's an endless figuring. Just again, like a dream. I could sit there and try to figure out every angle of every situation, and when I wake up, what did it mean? Other than once I've woken up, I can say none of that was true, but my God, at the time, it really appeared real. While I was dreaming, I really thought that it was real until I woke up. And in our sense, waking up is to know yourself in a real sense. My God, I really thought that this life was true, that I was living a life, that I was born and that I was going to die, that somehow harm could come to me, that somehow, some way, I'm going to lose something when I'm no longer experiencing this illusory existence as John. But this is not true. And I remain with my selfless self. And I know this. Because how can this presence interact with or interfere with or do anything with form when it's so beyond that? The sky. Sometimes the birds are flying south for the winter, but the sky is not saying, wow, there's a lot of traffic in me today. To look at all these birds, suddenly is very traffic. Or the rain. The sky is not saying, oh my gosh, it's so rainy. I wish I'd never, I could see the sun again. And that's the other thing too. The sun, no matter, I know we've had like four, it's really terrible, honestly. It's 4 days of nonstop rain in this illusory existence that we're experiencing. And yet the sun is still there. It hasn't gone anywhere. Even though we're not able to perceive the sun and say, oh, the sun, there's still some light, but you're not seeing the nice bright sunshine because it's been raining for days. But the sun hasn't like gone away. It hasn't diminished. It's not producing less energy. And those coverings, those layers, slowly, silently, and permanently just have to be removed. And then as Maharaj says, it's like you open the door, some leaves blow in. You don't just say, oh, I just swept my floor. This is a tragedy that these leaves have blown in. No, you sweep and sweep them out and keep the floor clean. Don't allow the ash to cover up your selfless self. And yet you know yourself in a real sense. You don't have to keep reminding yourself, oh, I'm selfless self. Oh, I'm formless. Maharaj uses the example of, I don't have to go around and keep saying, I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man. This is now just a knowing. And Maharaj says too, somebody calls Maharaj, he says, ah, yes, hello. He doesn't have to sit there and say, Maharaj, oh yes, okay, now I'm going to respond as Maharaj. No, he's become one with this name. You become one with this presence. Presence in you, there is no separation. There's the illusory appearance of this body that you used to believe created the concept of individuality because the thoughts that were coming were about the body you believed yourself to be. And now you know you're not that. So there is no destiny for you. There's no birth for you, no death for you. Even the doctor says, you know what? I have to give you this bad news. You only have 6 months to live. No, I have 6 months left to use this body, but it's a rental.
That's interesting. I was feeling oneness real strong yesterday quite a bit. And then today, it seemed to me, to my mind, that I was losing some of the touch of or the sense of oneness at times. So I would remind myself, it did sort of help to remind myself that I am oneness, but I can see what you're saying, that that's actually that's a redundancy that's not really necessary for the oneness to be the oneness.
Well, you just fall back into the sense of presence. Mm-hmm. Once you've been meditating, that's why Maharaj says meditation is so important. Once you've been meditating, you felt this subtle just I, this very subtle presence. And you kind of now trained yourself to want yourself more than any of the illusory things. And so you don't have to even say, oh, I'm oneness. You know, you can just sit there and kind of drop back into that sense of presence. Oh, so that I am that, without words. Just subtle presence. Where is the issue? Where is the problem? Because from here, that black hole sucks in all thoughts. There's just nothing. You're just pure, just, even pure is wrong to say because that's an attribute and there's no attributes. Nothing. Anytime you're having a conflict with someone or you're stuck in traffic or you're waiting in a line, and you don't have to make a big egoistic show about, oh, look at me, I'm meditating and in oneness. No, you just drop back in. Oh, okay. Or if you're able and you're knowing yourself in a real sense, you're in line in, say, a grocery store, and you just see cleanly without the concept of a you seeing. It's almost like your space has become an object of your observation. It's and everything that's in that space, be it, quote, animate or inanimate, is in that space. And you understand, oh, because I'm formless, all of this is appearing within my own self. This also gives very much peace. And it's the same as going inward or outward, because inward and outward, without a body, a local identification, is one and the same.
And no matter if you're swallowing or excreting food, it's only happening at one present. Yeah. I was at the zoo yesterday watching rhinoceroses, and I just watched one poo or watched him walking around. I could see the same principle of in me is in the rhinoceros. And just like even there's a type of oneness in the observable world, because all beings, they both take in and they excrete. So there's a oneness there even.
Well, you can think of it as air. You're breathing in, you're calling it your air. You're breathing out, now it's just the air. In reality, air has not changed. You have decided to place attributes and labels and division where truly there is none. It's like, it's my air. Now I'm going to give it back to the world. Now it's the world's air again. No.
But the mind wants to own everything.
Only because there's an identification that there's an object that can own something. If you know yourself in a real sense, know yourself as formless, then even you watch the rhinoceros, but there's no you watching the rhinoceros. It's just objects in space moving about. Then you can say the space in the rhinoceros is the same as the space in you, the two objects. You're literally the same as that rhinoceros. The power, the energy that's moving both. The rhinoceros is a lump of five elemental goo. Two rhinoceros got together and created a little baby rhinoceros, only body-wise, a little body factory of rhinoceros. You, two humans, got together and created this little lump of goo, And now you have this human body factory. But presence is the only thing. It's animating and moving and doing and providing the power. Again, just like in your dream. Who's providing power to all the people that you are experiencing, seeing, talking with, knowing in your dream? That arose formlessly from yourself. You know this. That's why, that's the most amazing, like almost like somebody handed you a top secret document to analyze your dream. Because the body's laying down and formlessly a dream world is projected with form. In your dream, you can knock on a door. You're walking. You have created this world out of nothing. And you're powering everything that's powered there. If there's a river in your dream, the energy of the river to flow is coming from you. Or who else? Presence is projecting a dream world. Presence is projecting this waking world that we call different because of identification with the body. We say, oh, now I'm awake, and oh, now I'm asleep, only because of identification with the body. Presence is neither asleep nor awake. It doesn't come and go.
In that sense, like I read recently in one of the spiritual books of our lineage that I forget which one it was, but you become the guru. There's no difference between you and the guru at the point of oneness, I guess.
Of course, see yourself as formless, see your master as formless, and there could be no separation. And you're not becoming the guru. The guru is another name, like Brahman, Atman, Paramatman, God, Master, for your own selfless self.
Not becoming, but are.
And that's why Maharaj says, the Nisargadatta Maharaj says, I'm not making you disciple, I'm making you master. Because you're already master. Your conceptual belief in being a disciple is not true. It was okay for a time so that you would sit quietly at the master's feet because you believed you were a body. And the listening and the understanding would arise. And then because you were told to meditate, you meditate. Master says you're not body. Okay, there's something. And I was just, okay. And then investigation. If I'm not body, then who am I? And who am I is not like I walk around town, who am I, who am I, who am I, who am I? No, who am I is just investigating your own selfless self. You have a body, use it to investigate your selfless self. And then selfless self that you are will literally take this body off like clothes. Okay, this is okay. And whether it's here or not, it doesn't make a difference.
In some sense, could you say that self knows itself?
Through the body form, as Maharaj puts it, spirit clicks with the body and you say, I. Prior to this spirit clicking with body, that's why Maharaj says the matchstick, you, and you have fire. Spirit and body, you have a sense of existence. Oh, I exist. But prior to being this, you had no knowledge of your existence. Nor did you need to have knowledge of your existence. There was nothing other to know. Only in the illusion did the concept of duality come in, and so many things to be known. But everything you know, everything you've ever done, all the people you've ever met, your entire life experience has been within the bubble of illusion. the something within the nothing. But the nothing is, the something is a temporary thing. This free meeting will end in 10 minutes.
So, do you like look at the world like you're watching a movie, or how do you, knowing, having this awareness of the selfless self, how do you process the world in your mind as you're going through it?
It's scenes appearing and disappearing. Mm-hmm. Literally, that's all it is. It's just scenes appearing and disappearing. You use the body to do what needs to be done in the moment. Then it's finished, and then a new scene comes.
Okay.
We've spoken about before, like when this meeting ends, everybody just disappears. And then what needs to be done, uploading the thing to YouTube and doing this and doing that, maybe go watch TV, do something, go to work tomorrow, in the moment be doing this, but it's just scenes appearing and disappearing. There's not a linear timeline, because you're not anything that can be in time. They're literally just scenes appearing and disappearing, spontaneous action in the moment. No identification with a thought flow that says I'm doing this or I'm doing that. And yet, if your supervisor says, John, can you do such and such on Friday? Yes, I will do such and such on Friday. Because you know yourself in a real sense. You don't have to keep saying I'm a illusory something. You just do what needs to be done. That's why Maharaj says, do your job, do your duties, take care of all your responsibilities, and know yourself in a real sense.
Thank you. Jai Guru.
The absolute best use of your time, just like Nisargadatta Maharaj says, after he found out the good news, he tried to spend every waking moment with the I am. The I am is that subtle sense of presence, just I, just I.
Okay.
Just holding presence with presence, recognition in the projection, just soul. And as it said, all the secrets will be revealed, because eventually there's an understanding that comes that I'm the knower of presence. And even presence is an illusion. Can
That's
only
the
be
hard
known.
Part. Yeah.
Only be known through the body form. This body is available. I use this body. As Maharaj says, it's a golden opportunity to know yourself in a real sense. And this sense of presence, because once I identify myself with this sense of presence, and the entire world disappears. And I don't mean disappears as in like you're looking out and, oh my gosh, there's no world. No, entire world disappears because you know yourself in a real sense. You've identified with this sense of presence and not all these illusory things. You're no longer identified with the illusory world, just as when you wake up from the dream, you're no longer identified with someone in that dream and all the activities that were going on and all the objects that you may have acquired within that dream. You're not like meditating on it and thinking about these things, because once you know yourself in a real sense, it's the same. Oh, so that I am that. And then you spend the moments, just spend some time with you. Mm-hmm. No time better spent. I mean, it's like, and you can be, because someone had asked, I think last week, about how do you do your job and remain with a sense of presence? Well, you can, like you can literally just be with you always.
Mm-hmm. It's like praying without ceasing.
Exactly. That's what St. Francis was talking about.
You never lose it.
You never. Be with you always. And that's why Sri Ramakant Maharaj said that Balsam Maharaj created this whole program of the Bhajans, or I'm sorry, Gurlingam Maharaj created this whole program of the Bhajans, so that you could keep in constant contact with yourself. Three times per day, they do the bhajans. They do the meditation. They ask that you do meditation. That's why. That's why the program was there, because he knew that the mind is going to want to wander off to the illusory world and try to convince you that these things are true. But the more you remain with yourself as self, do bhajans, take care of your responsibilities, mm-hmm. but know yourself in a real sense.
Well, I have a really hard time with the bhajans. I tried to do it at my hearing, and oh my gosh, it's just a hot mess for me, the bhajans.
Wait, I mean, you don't have to sing. I just put the headphones on. I listen to it in the morning as I'm reading these daily morning readings. I listen to it at lunch while I'm eating lunch. Now, I don't do evening bhajans.
Oh, that's
But
that's a good idea.
Yeah, just put on the headphones. And the bhajans are on the website that I gave you, that Ramakant Maharaj Dakshina, which you can also find from the YouTube channel. And you've got the morning, the Kakadarate. The Kakadarate, first thing in the morning when I'm doing like little readings from different various spiritual texts. It's very nice. It's a wonderful way to start the day, where you're not just jumping into the day and allowing your mind to convince you that this world is true and, oh my God, so many things to do. You know, you're not a doer. There's spontaneous action in the moment. Things will come, things will go.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. And that again is why Maharaj says, spirituality is not a part-time thing. It's really not. It's not something that I can just kind of do every so often. You know, like if you've ever gone to the gym and you've done a really nice workout and you've been working out for months and then you start to take a little time off and then it's days before back to the gym and then it's months before back to the gym. And eventually you cancel your gym membership because you're going to do it again next year. And it's not like this. The result would be the same. If you don't spend time with you, you know, you're not exercising your spiritual muscles. Mm-hmm. And what could be more important? This is the single most important thing that could ever be.
Yeah.
Because as Maharaj says, on your deathbed, you're going to believe that this is the single most important thing if it has not already been impressed.
Well, I see death almost every day as a nurse, so I can relate to that totally. What happens at the end of your physical body, that you're not the body. And that's pretty obvious to me, that part. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Oh, it looks like we lost Keith. I just noticed.
Mm-hmm.